Bible's Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to give you a quick overview of what we're going to be doing the next couple weeks. On three occasions in the last month, I have had the wonderful conversation of the topic of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is something that we as a church need to do better at, and we need to have a better revelation of how we are supposed to be, as Kenny just stole, victorious in it. We are not supposed to be the ones battling as if we lose. If you're losing in spiritual warfare, you're not doing something right. Amen? Okay, just two or three of you. So that's why we're teaching is because only three of you are winning. We would like to have 300 and 400 and five. We'd have thousands winning. We need to learn how to fight to win. You are already more than a conqueror. You already have victory inside of you. And the problem we have is that many times we go into the battle expecting defeat, but not really realizing our mind is programmed for it. So I want to pray something in just a second. I want to pray over you. As I was preparing this week, I heard a statement that just made me want to just blah. I heard someone say, well, I have a shield of faith and I'm just kind of hiding behind it because the enemy can't get to me. I thought to myself, that is really bad. And so I started studying the word shield, which is really interesting. Do you know that the word shield, of course, it's supposed to quench the fiery darts, which we're going to get to. But did you know that in the old Roman soldiers, they actually used the shield as an offensive weapon too? They would bludgeon you. The word bludgeon was found. So when I read that the other day, bludgeon, I said, I can't wait to use that on Sunday. They bludgeoned them. Sorry. Kenny's like, why did you do that? They would literally bludgeon them with their, I love that word, sorry, with their shield. They would take their shield and use it. The shield is supposed to be more than what we've given it credit for because it says, above all, take up the shield of faith. And we talk about this. So I began to put those thoughts together and tie that into these last few weeks of this topic on spiritual warfare. And I realized that's it. For years, we have preached that we are all the weapons that we have are to protect us. And the sword is the one that goes and attacks. And yet, that's not true. Because if the kingdom of heaven is to advance, the shield ought to be used as an offensive way to gain ground, not to just protect the ground we have. The shield of faith ought to be something that propels us forward, because how can we call something a shield of faith when faith is an action? We as a church preach, teach, probably hopefully model and live a life of victory and faith, and yet we use the word shield of faith and it becomes defensive all of a sudden. You follow me here? Something's wrong. And so as I begin to just ponder throughout the week, a shield of faith, what does that look like? And then you think about it. Faith causes us to speak. Faith causes us to have action. Our shield must be more action than reaction. We have to have a life of faith that is causing the enemy to back up, not us to back up. And victory ought to come when we spread the gospel. We're going to talk about our feet shod. You're talking about how good is the news when the feet of those that preach the good news. We're doing something. We're taking ground. It's active. The weapons of a warfare, we're going to get to admit, are not carnal. They're not natural, but we are to take ground spiritually. And I really believe the greatest way, conclusion in the next couple weeks, the greatest way that we stay victorious is we gain ground by taking and occupying the kingdom forward. That is how you win a city. You don't win it. We can yell at clouds all day long. You can yell at demons all day. And by the way, there's a time for speaking and declaring. You understand that? But the best way we win a city is by spreading the light one step at a time and conquering those areas of darkness. Now, here's what I wanted to pray over in a second. That's all introduction. For you personally, how does it affect you? Here's what I was seeing this morning as I was praying. Stayed there a little bit longer than normal. I saw warfare in a way that was just really interesting to me. And I actually had a vision of a person as I was in there praying. And I saw this person standing there, and I just saw a cloud, almost like a tornado forming around. And I just saw the person being, my mind can't think of the word, confused, but not just dismantled almost, looking around because there was no peace. There was no place of clarity, and it seemed like there are certain circumstances in life just keep to always looking and looking. We seemed to all I could see this person when I was praying was just looking and looking and trying to find their direction again, try to find clarity again. And this to me is one of the greatest areas of our warfare that we need to win. When we can't see forward, last week we talked about that when we're going to, if you have faith to see it, you can believe for it, right? And I'm not talking the natural realm, because in the natural realm, you won't see it. You have to see it out there in the spirit, and then you can start proclaiming and declaring and speaking what the Lord has shown you ahead of time. But when we lose our vision, the enemy gets in, and we start looking around, and we start being very circumstantial around us, and we miss the call of God. And my heart is this, many of you in the room know that you have more than what you're encountering right now. Many of you in the room know that there's more for you to experience in God than you are right now. And then the problem is, though, the pressure of life, our jobs, our children, which are good, they're not bad, our marriages, our friendships, and all these things become, we got to try to fit everything in here instead of getting a vision and a peace to know that God wants to bring us. We got to win this war. We got to win the war, the battle that's causing so much chaos in our life. And so let's pray with that. Father, I pray right now this morning that even in my life right now, I know for a fact, even this week, there was so much activity that we allow ourselves to get chaotic. And I want to speak right now the very source of this chaos. I'm speaking to anyone in the room right now that like to just receive this. For the restlessness in your spirit, the turmoil and frustration of not feeling like you're accomplishing, and you're just all the spinning your wheels, the growing tired and weary, and realizing deep in your heart, this is between you and you alone and you and the Lord. You know there's more, but you just can't get out of the rat race. You can't get off the hamster wheel. It just seems like the battle, you don't realize it's spiritual warfare, but it is, by the way. You don't realize the enemy has come and distracted you, distracted me. And so today I ask you, Holy Spirit, to remove the distractions. Restructure our lives that you are number one, and that you set our life in a place of priority, and you structure it. You allow us to stand again, as we'll get to in your word. We will stand and be victorious. We will have the joy and the peace of the Lord governing our lives. And I pray those in the room that have lost the joy because of the battle, they've lost their peace because of the battle, that today we would get it restored in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, everything that you're encountering that is distracting you, trying to get you down, is not natural, it is spiritual. Okay? That is what you wrestle with. Therefore, verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, stand. You find that word was three times. Verse 11, 13, and now you're going to find number 14 another time. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take up the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given in my mouth, that I might that I open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This morning, I want to just hit the first few verses. I'm not going to hit the whole thing. I've already given you some of the conclusion about, we're going to talk next week about the shield of faith. We're going to talk about next week the sword of spirit. But I do want to just get you, as we get to the weapons next week that we're going to be living victoriously through, we have the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. You see, we got truth, righteous, peace, faith. We're going to talk about some of these things next week. This is who we are. We're going to talk about our identity. They just sang the song. We are these things. And so therefore, one of the greatest weapons you have in your life today is knowing who you are and how to walk in it. One of the greatest things the enemy likes to do is get you down and bring deception and lies in your life. But when you're walking in truth, there's freedom. And we'll get to all that next week. But before we get there, let's lay the foundation even better. I want to give you the definition of the word stand. And if you have your little phones and your cheater phones, you can push your little button and see it. All the definitions are there. So I know that this is nothing more amazing than just me reading what I found on a page. But let's put it in context. It just says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and the powers of might, put on the whole armor of the God that you may be able to stand. The word stand is one of the most powerful words when it comes to spiritual warfare, because you're not gaining ground, you're not losing ground, you're maintaining and setting a foundation to establish more ground. The biggest problem we have with spiritual warfare is that we think we got to go get, what we do is we occupy what we have, and I believe we expand from there. We don't just take it, spiritual warfare isn't taking a jog. It's maintaining a position, fortifying it, and moving forward, and then removing the kingdom of darkness that's in the way. Spiritual warfare looks different for different people, by the way. I want to make this clear, too. Always a place of victory. But, different people experience different types of warfare. I also don't want to make it so simple today that, this is the war. Some of the battle, 90% of the Christians today, the battle is in your head. You are a head case. No, I'm just saying, you have to think, it's in the head. You have to win the Romans 12:2 battle we'll talk about next week. That's where your battle is. It's your mind. It's your thoughts. When you talk about this, for we have not been given a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1, again, this is all next week. I'm jumping a little bit. But power, love, and what? Sound mind. Fear, a sound mind. Can't have both. See, they're opposites. He didn't give you this because he gave you this. He gave you the mind of Christ. And he gave you the ability to function in that mindset that Christ had. And it says in Philippians 2, and I'm jumping at our stop, it says, have this mind in you. It talks about the same mindset that Jesus had to go through what he did. He says, you put that on too. You go through the battles with that mindset that you're going to win in the end, that you are more than a conqueror. And no matter what comes at you, you are victorious. And when no matter what attacks you, whether it's sickness, whether, I don't care what the enemy has up his sleeve for you, you are more than a conqueror. Doesn't mean you don't have to fight. Doesn't mean you have to speak and declare. Doesn't mean you don't have to stand. It means that you are going to win. And when you take that posture of victory before the battle begins, it's much easier to fight. So here's the definition. The word stand means to build a foundation, to establish and make firm yourself. The very first thing we do when we take up our weapons is we establish and fortify our position. We keep our place. It becomes a place of safety. We become immovable. We become steadfast, not wavering. It means to uphold and sustain authority against any force of anything that comes our way. Now, that's a combination of three different definitions I looked at through Strong's and other things. So when you think about this position, it says stand. It says establish yourself. Make yourself firm. Have a solid foundation. Fortify your place so you can be a place of protection, safety, and you become immovable. You know why Paul said this 3-4 times? It's because when we become this way, we will not lose the battle. But if you don't learn to stand first, then you're going to be operating from a position of weakness. that you stay and become steadfast. You don't waver. You know, again, James 1, do not be double-minded. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all their ways. Not standing, but unstable. You see, if we can learn spiritual warfare, a better way that we've been teaching it, that is some, you know, taking our sword out, I'm going to go and I'm going to sword the spirit and I'm going to go sword all the demons. Instead, when we find out that spiritual warfare exists right here in this very moment we're in now, and we ought to be victorious with our minds and our emotions and our thoughts, our physical bodies. We ought to win the battle. When you can win the small one, you win the war. And the problem is a lot of us are losing these battles, and it seems like the war is not looking too promising. Today, it's time to regain the ground. Whether it's your marriages, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your children, whether it's your job, whether it's your schedule and your life and your busyness, which I think we all can deal with that a little bit here. Whatever it is, it's time for you to remove the chaos and allow the peace of God to come, and you become victorious today. I make a choice today that I will put myself in a place where I am established with a good foundation. I will not let the winds move me. We talk about that in Matthew 7 when Jesus was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, about the building your foundation on a firm foundation, not on the sand, but on the rock. So today it's time to help get our foundation rebuilt that we can stand. What's the word that God has given you for the year? What's the word God's given you? What's the vision he's given you for your life? Where are you supposed to be, and are you accomplishing those things? I don't care if you're 27 or 57, God's still got a plan right now for you to fulfill. Amen? Let's uphold it. Let's stand. Now, if we're going to talk about how to stand, verse 12 is the one that we so much talk about. But listen, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Let's just start there for a minute. Your battle is not against your wife, even though sometimes you think she's the devil, she's not. I know, and your husband's not either, by the way. Your kids, they sometimes act like it, but they're not. That is not your battle. Your friendship, you know, your job, your boss, these are not your enemies. When you can understand the guy that flips you off going down the road, he's not your enemy. He's just being used by Satan. Or maybe you should get out of the fast lane, then he won't flip you off. I'm just saying that. Just saying. And I'm not the one who does it. I've had moments in my life where I get so angry that, do you know that you're holding up 27 cars just because you want to have a duel of 54 miles an hour in the fast lane? Doesn't work for me. I lose patience. I do. Not gonna lie. But it's not, our battle is not that. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual place of victory and defeat. When you can win the war in your spirit, you will win every war in the natural. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of spiritual wickedness. There are four levels. You don't think Satan is smart. He has a system in place that tries to counterbalance the system that God has in place. He has authority structures, and so does the devil. He copies everything God's done because what God does works. And so he is not going to just lay over and play dead. And you know, and one of the things that I think as Christians we got to be so careful of, don't underestimate the power of your enemy, but don't focus on his power. Okay? Don't underestimate him, but don't give him it either. I cannot stand. Cannot stand when people say, well, you know the devil. Stop talking about him. Stop. It's like a football team getting ready to play football today. You know what they do? They study the playbook of the other team so they know their weaknesses and strengths, so their team can grow and be stronger in what they do. They even have a team, by the way, because I mean, I played football way back in the day. Never made it above high school because it tells you the talent level I had. So we stayed right there at high school level. And so I knew that when we played our first string defense, we would have us. All the players that weren't playing on our first-string defense would have to go and be on a practice squad copying their playbook. But you know what the defense did do? All we focused on was our plays and reading our assignments. When we focus on what we're called to do and what we are to do, we will win. You know what the offense did not do? Never did the offense go get the defensive playbook of their team. See the difference? When you're playing defensive, you have to know what the other team is doing. But when you're playing offensive, you don't worry about the defense of their team. If you see the mindset difference, is this: the church tries to study too much what the defense of the offense that the other team is doing, and yet, meantime, we're wasting so much of our energy. I don't care what Satan said to you yesterday. You know why? He's a liar. I don't care what Satan did last week. Let's stop talking about, and let's start talking about how we can go and be more effective in our victory, in our place of taking ground. When we study the film, we're studying how we can be more effective in our offense so we can be more productive and have less losing battles and win the war. You know, one of the other things I love about, because I'm a big sports, you guys, I love sports. The other thing I love is when you're watching a football game, and let's just say that it's a close game, and the other team gets up there, and they have one big breakaway play, and they score, and you think, oh, the game's over. That's just one play. You know what? Your offense gets the ball back, and we get to score, too. See, we got to get a mindset difference that just because the enemy does something over here, we have more power. We win. So we get the ball back. So no matter what happens, we can take the authority back. But we've got to learn a mindset that we've got to learn to play to win. Stop accepting chaos as a norm. Stop accepting sickness as a norm. Stop accepting the fact that we're going to be warring all day. Let's learn to have peace rule our lives. Joy prosper in everything we do. And that's a place of victory that the church needs to become. Amen? All right, so let's jump ahead to the next one. So we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against our. But then it says this, wherefore, after that, so here he said, take up the sword, put on the whole armor of God, you can stand. What are we standing against? Well, you know the enemy has a system over there that is wanting to come and take you out, but that's not. So you need to learn that is the battle you have to win. So now he's going to say, therefore, wherefore, because that's the battle, you take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil. And having done all, stand. When we learn as Christians to take our place, to stand on the word of God and stand in these areas, we will be victorious. So let me just, let's go to a couple scriptures. And one of them I think we just heard about, thanks to Kenny. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and start there. I thought about skipping it because Kenny already preached the message, that verse, but I'm not going to. I'm not giving him the place today. I'm going to keep doing it anyways, since he does it every week. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 14 through 17. Now thanks be to God, which always, and I think we heard about that one a minute ago, always. When do you lose? Never. Why? Because you always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. When we are going to go and learn how to do spiritual warfare, we have to come that this verse right here means exactly what it says. You always win. I have a hard time. And the reason why this is so much on my heart today is I really truly believe in my heart, big time, that we're not understanding that some of the things you're encountering in your life that's causing you so much turmoil is just spiritual warfare that you're not being victorious in. It's time for you today to take authority over your life, over your physical bodies, over your relationships, over your schedule, whatever it is, it's time today to take the turn and realize that you can be victorious because you have been given the ability in Christ to triumph in all things. Amen? That's a loud ringer. I just want you to know that. Now, thanks be to God. Which always causes us to, that's a really loud ringer, brother. I can hear that in my neighbor's house, I think. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, the manifest presence of God, his knowledge is available right there. Not only are you going to triumph, But his promise is he makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Every single place that we operate in, we have been the manifest knowledge, the savor of his knowledge is manifest in every place we're at. Not only do we win, but we get him with it. We get his knowledge. So if you're struggling on the how, get the knowledge. He causes us to triumph because he gives you a way to win. He doesn't just say, Adam, you're going to win. He tells me how. He gives me the knowledge to do it. So this morning, if you're struggling with any of those areas in your life, if you're struggling in relationships, ask the Lord what you can do to change you. I've said this for years, and I'll say it for years longer. I don't care how good or bad your relationships are. You can pray for the other person as long as you want, but until you change, your relationship won't get any better inside of you. You can only affect one person, that's yourself. I want marriage better. Then good, get better. Be more loving. Be more forgiving. Be more understanding. Ask the Lord to give you the knowledge of how you can be more effective in your relationships. Ask the Lord how you can be more effective in your scheduling and your lifestyle choices. Ask the Lord how you can do a better job at ministering in the areas that God's called you to minister. He'll give you not just the victory, but the knowledge to do so. Amen? Verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. In them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which are corrupt the word of God, but of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speaks as we in Christ. We are going to have an odor no matter where we go. Whether we bring an odor of life or death is based on the person who hears it. But we are going to be the savor of God's presence wherever we go. And we have a call to fill that. And I'm not going to go through all those verses because I just want to finish the chapter there so I stayed in context some. But we, not only is he going to give us the savor of his knowledge, but we then take on that same savor. And we become the very essence of his presence, manifest to those that are lost or saved. We become that everywhere we go. So either way, you smell. Okay, so let's move on. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. I meant that in a nice way. And I'm going to close right here, by the way, if you would like to be ready for that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to just read this. And then next week, I was just trying to keep it nice and brief because I want to keep it in two pieces. I don't want to start getting into the weapons and not finish. So I got about 5 minutes or so to do this, then we're going to do this. So verse 1 of chapter 5, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him, that begotten love also has begotten of him. But by this we know that the love, the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it? Even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by the water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. I just love that. See, every time I read this, they didn't even use Jesus' name. They used the name Word instead. The Word. Who is he? He's the Word. He's truth. He's life. And John here didn't even use the name of Jesus. He used who he was, the Word. I just think it's awesome. And the Holy Ghost, these three are one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. And he that believes not God has made him a liar, because he has believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and life is in his Son. He that has a Son has life, and he that has a Son of God has not have life. We have been given the life of God. We believe, and we believe the record of what we have. Verse 4 and 5, let's read them again. It's what I'd like to close with right now. And a little worship is already coming up here, ready to go. Look at that. All right, verses 4 and 5. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Who does that qualify? Anybody? Anybody that's born of God overcomes the world. Now, this is what's great. So this is a promise that you've been given. But just like everything in Scripture, how do promises get activated? Just by sitting there and saying, I know it's in there somewhere. I know it's in the Bible somewhere. I know it's in there. No, the promise is yours. But sometimes you have to realize in our mindsets, because in this world we think, well, just because they said it, it's going to happen. No. Just because it's said, you have to activate it. You have to have faith to believe. And that's why the next line in that verse. So let's finish. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. So what actually overcomes the world? The promise of God through faith. You have the ability to walk overcoming in the world because the faith to believe God's word is true. If you don't activate it, you don't do it, you can say all day long, I'm an overcomer, and sit in there and, you know, I'll give you a good example. I realize I have been convicted. I'm not joking. It's not, don't laugh at me yet, because the second part you can laugh at. Not the first. See, are you laughing? I have been really convicted lately that, you know, I really got to stop eating everything that just looks and sounds good to me. I mean, the other day, it's like midnight, I'm driving, and McDonald's sounded really good. So what I do? I ate McDonald's at midnight because it sounded good. You know, and those new chicken things were really good. By the way, I'll tell you a really funny story. Thank you for I'm way ahead of schedule today. I was driving home about 2 o'clock in the morning from Brazil, Indiana, if you know where that's not a... And there's a stoplight right there on 40 before you hit 231, and it says, do not turn on red. And the guy that was with me, we're sitting there, goes, it doesn't mean... At 2 o'clock in the morning, that sign doesn't mean no turn on red. I guess it didn't. But, you know, there's something in me that said, I can't do that. I don't know why. This is not to pray. It's a comical story at the end, by the way. And so as I sat there, I waited and waited. And he looks at me and goes, really? You don't have to wait. There's not a single car. Have you seen a car? I said, I've not seen a car. No. So you're pretty safe to go. I said, but it says don't turn on red. And I felt stupid. So as it turns green, I pull out, and I cannot joke, not even a half mile on the road, there sits a police car sitting there waiting for people who turned on red, I guarantee it. I don't know what it was. I looked at him and I go, see, there's a police car right there. It said, do not turn on red. He goes, I'm glad you didn't turn on red. Anyways, so that was also the same night I stopped. By the way, it was right after that. I felt like that need for McDonald's rose even greater. And so I celebrated with a double cheeseburger. Just sorry. But either way, I realized that I really want to overcome this area of my life because, as you know, weight, whether it's drugs, alcohol, food, let's just put them all in one category. When there is something in your life that's causing you to lose victory, you need to win the battle. And so I got convicted that night, really did, not joking. I feel like, why am I eating a double cheeseburger this late at night, or actually in the morning, really? But McDonald's is open 24 hours a day. So that was my first answer, by the way. It's open, so there must be more people like me that need food at that hour. But anyways, and I didn't need food, by the way. Either way, so this conviction comes over me. What are you doing? And I can say all day long, I'm an overcomer. I'm not going to get fat. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to get skinnier. And I can speak all day long. But until you put the Swiss cake rolls down with a tear, and you stop eating them at midnight when they sound good, and you're sitting there in your bed and you're watching Blue Bloods or whatever I like to binge watch, and like, a Swiss cake roll sounds really good right now. I have to overcome. And you know how you do it? You don't do it. And I can be comical and have fun with you, but here's the bottom line. You want to be victorious? Stop doing what you shouldn't do. You want to be victorious? Stop believing the lies about you and stop propelling those areas of defeat by doing it. If you want to live victorious in your marriage, then do things that are different. You want to live victorious in your schedule, then stop doing the things that's causing chaos. If you want to live victorious in your weight, then stop eating Swiss cake rolls at midnight. If you want to learn to be victorious, you've got to act out in faith and do something about it. And this is the biggest thing I want to encourage people with, is we can't just sit back here and believe I'm an overcomer without doing something in faith to get it. Does anybody believe? I believe as a church, we don't hide this. I believe that God wants everyone in this room to be healthy, to be prosperous, to be full of peace and joy, because that's what his word says. And so if you want any of those things in your life to manifest, what are you doing to get those? If a man don't work, he don't eat. Well, so if you want to be prosperous, go work, right? Go believe and do something about it. If you want to live a life of healing, then go and stand on the word of God for healing. But we can't live a life sitting back expecting. It's like I've told you over and over again, this probably for 20 years I've been here, I've said the same thing. It's like I give you $1 million in your bank account, but if you don't ever go to the bank and get it, you don't know you're rich. If you don't know what you have, you got to have faith to go access the promises of God. So therefore, let me finish up. For whatsoever is born of God, it's your birthright, it's yours, is overcoming. You're an overcomer. And this is the victory. How do you get the victory? How do you maintain a place of overcoming? Because overcoming is who you are, but victory is what you need. You need victory over these areas in your life. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes the Son, Jesus is the Son of God. This is who you are. You are an overcomer. And so this morning, as we leave, and why this thing keeps falling off, I don't know. Before you leave this morning, get it in your spirit. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. That as I walk out of here, I walk out as an overcomer. But I also walk out with the tools to win the victory, to be victorious in everything I go through. Next week, we are going to get through that. We're also going to add one more twist to it next week that I'm not going to tell you about. And that is we're going to use another scripture that talks about the weapons you have. It's a series that Graham Cook did, by the way, that I'm going to steal from, just to let you know. And he talked about another area of weapons that you can be victorious in. And we're going to deal with both those next week, both in Galatians and Ephesians. We're going to hit both the weapons that cause us to be victorious in every area of our life. So let's finish this next week. But you understand this morning, a lot of encouragement. We are victorious. We are overcomers, and it's time for us to live that way. Amen? All right, let's stand to our feet. Let me pray a blessing over you, and let this worship team rock the house one more. No, let's worship. Let's do that. No, all joking aside, let's close and be victorious in our worship. Let's not just sing words on a screen. That's not worshiping. Let's get our heart and our mind. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning that your word says, I am an overcomer. So right now in this room, I pray that and declare that. Your word says that every one of the people standing in this room today is an overcomer. So in the name of Jesus, I rebuke and break and cut off and tear down every single lie that we have believed that's contrary to your word. I repent for believing the lie that I'm not an overcomer in this area. Whether it's food, drugs, alcohol, pornography, whether it's anger, lust, whether it's impatience, doesn't matter. No matter what it is, I am an overcomer. I'm going to wake up in the morning as I'm driving to work, and I'm going to go and declare all day long, today I'm an overcomer in every circumstance I come against. Now, how do we do it? Lord, I thank you right now that you've given us the faith. And now it's time for us to use the faith that's been given to us to be the overcomers we're called to be. Faith to change things that need to change. Faith to do things we've never done. But I ask you today that you give us the faith that we will operate in today, right now. Just you've given each one of us a measure. Now it's time for us to use it. So right now, in this very moment, I'm asking for conviction, for the Holy Spirit to speak right now of how. You said you give us the knowledge. So we're victorious, but now we need the knowledge of how to win this battle. And then we got to go do it. So I pray right now that every single person in this room is receiving revelation even now on how to be victorious in the areas they seem to be losing the battles in. We're not supposed to lose. We're victorious. And so I pray that we become a victorious church, victorious families, victorious people in every area of our life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.